message. It's going to be a little bit of a continue from last week, but we'll press in a little deeper and actually like a whole new topic. So let's see what God has for us. Let's start with some prayers we open up since we're talking about prayer. It's actually going to be a little bit from the Apostle Paul had some times when he prayed for the believers. And that's kind of what we started pressing into. It's profound to me when I read something like that, a guy that has so much influence on the body of Christ, and yet he saw the need to continue to pray for the believers to be able to receive what he was speaking and what he was trying to share. But let's start with prayer. Father, we thank you this morning. We're grateful again to be here in your presence. Father, we thank you for your love, your grace, your anointing, your power, your blessing upon each one of us, Lord, as we draw our strength from you, as we know that you are the King of kings and Lord of lords, that it is at your knee that every knee, it is at your name that every knee will bow, Father, declaring Jesus, glorifying you, exalting the King and what you've done on our behalf, Lord. And this morning we pray for your power to be revealed to us, what you intended for us to understand through your scriptures this morning, Lord, that we will draw from it and walk out a little different than we came in, Lord. We give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. So last week we looked into something I actually named, this could have been prayers for the believers too, okay, or prayer for the believers, because that's what we looked at. We looked at the Apostle Paul and something that he said that he prays for the believers, and then he actually kind of worded it like the way that he would pray it. And so as he did this, he was imprisoned in Rome for preaching the name of Jesus, okay, for preaching about faith in Jesus Christ. And I word it that way, not saying that he was in jail or in prison for his faith in Christ, but he was in prison for preaching about his faith in Christ. Because did you know you're not going to get in any trouble for having faith in Jesus Christ. Nobody's going to persecute you. Nobody's even probably going to know just by having faith in Jesus Christ. But as soon as you cross that line, as soon as you start preaching about faith in Jesus, that's when you're going to be persecuted. Okay? You are persecuted when you tell others about your faith in Jesus and then you live your life out in a way that demonstrates that you have faith. Does that kind of make sense? Okay, the Apostle Paul told us that all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Okay, the live godly part is what I'm implying, that having faith is different than living out your faith. Okay, there is a way that we express ourselves. Okay, you can have faith and keep it to yourself, okay, but you're most likely, you're not living out your faith in a way that other people can see. Okay, God's intention though is that you express your faith through the way you live, through being here. This is part of your devotion to God. This is, I'm a committed believer. I'm here this morning because I'm devoted and committed to my Savior. Okay, it is about living your life in a way where you love one another. Remember, Jesus said, they will know you are my disciples by the love you have one toward another, about the body of Christ loving on itself, seeing past the faults and failures to truly love one another. Okay, you serve other people, okay, as in your workplace or in the church or in your families, however it is for you, you are serving one another, and that is an expression of your faith. Like Margie said about Jesus, he's the King of kings, and yet he came as a servant, okay, to serve. He washed people's feet. He did things that were very service-orientated towards his fellow human beings, and that is an expression of our faith. And then, of course, we live out our faith by telling other people about the joy that is in your heart. Where does that hope that you have inside come from? Remember, the scripture says, be ready always with an answer for every man who asks you of the hope that you have inside. Okay, and I'm paraphrasing that. But we want to always be ready and willing to share and acknowledge where that joy comes from. Well, the Apostle Paul, I say all that, and you'll see where it ties in here at the end, because we want to live by faith. In doing so, we probably will receive some criticism, okay, or persecution. Okay, well, the Apostle Paul had a revelation while he was in jail about the purpose of the church, okay, and not just the small church or, you know, the Oasis church, but the big church, the church as a whole. And he had this revelation about what the church was for. Okay, so he prays for wisdom and revelation. Okay, that we would receive this wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. Okay, he wants us to know God. Okay, and to know, we talked last week a little bit about, he wants us to know the love of God, to truly understand that. Okay, Paul prayed that we would truly know and understand his plans for the church. Okay, why do we gather? It's good for us, but is it just for us? Okay, we're here about God. God has a purpose and a plan for the church. And so how does that come into play? Okay, well, Paul understood, and so he prayed for us to understand that God has powerful plans for the faith-filled church to overcome darkness. Okay, to break through in a community, to be the center point. I don't know, some of you have heard of like Azula Street, and there's other revivals that have taken place over the centuries, but they always started with a handful of believers gathered together praying and believing and seeking the Lord. Okay, it starts with a fellowship, in other words, and from that they begin to take ground, and it begins to move throughout a community. And in some places, like in Kansas or outside of Kansas City, it got so big that the town literally couldn't handle what was happening. So they had to move it to Kansas City, went into bigger buildings, and had thousands and thousands of people that were coming to worship God. Okay, that kind of stuff starts with the body of Christ understanding what they're there for. Okay, so God has plans for the faith-filled church to overcome darkness, but not just in our own personal lives, okay, but in our homes, okay, and in our workplaces and in our communities. Okay, Paul appealed to God as he was praying. He was appealing to God on behalf of Christians to have the eyes of our understanding opened, okay, to quote Paul, so that we can fully understand the hope of our calling in Christ. Okay, and he was talking to the church. You're called as a church for a reason. There's a hope of your calling. Okay, and he wants us to see the greatness of God's power that is potentially there and hopefully is emanating through the church unto other people, that it's ministering unto our families, our communities, our workplace, wherever we go. Okay, we want to let that power, I called it, positively affect the world around us, okay, where we're making a difference. Okay, in his letter to the Ephesian church, the Apostle Paul wrote, he fully intended for this letter to go to all the churches because it was going to be for the church, not just for the Ephesian church. But he explains in there how the old man was dead because of sin, but our new condition is alive unto God. Okay, old man, new man. Okay, we are now alive to God. We're alive to do the right things. Okay, God put the right stuff in us. Okay, we've been saved by grace, Paul reminds us, that same letter to the Ephesians. He said, we've been saved by grace that's been given to us as a free gift from God just through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that faith, he goes on to say, now you are sealed unto the day of redemption by the Holy Ghost. Okay, he gave us then that seal that says, okay, that part of the deal is done. Now go live your life. Now go live out your new condition. Okay, and he did that because he wanted us to have the Holy Spirit in our life. Jesus said, I'm going to go away, send you another one. Okay, going to send the power. Because he wanted us to be empowered to do what God wants us to do. Okay, so if there's plans and purposes that God wants to carry out, he is going to give you what you need to be able to do that. And that's exactly what he did through the Holy Spirit. Well, Paul goes on to declare that he literally sees himself as a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Okay, he sees himself as being enslaved to carry out the will of his master. Okay, God had revealed to him while he was in there of other things, but mainly for the church. But one thing that God told him personally was that he was calling him to unify the church of Jesus Christ based on love. Okay, he said that's going to be the universal factor between all the churches of Christ is love toward one another and love toward God. Okay, well, the church as a whole that is made up of smaller bodies, just like this one, is a far more powerful force to defeat the schemes of the devil than most people consider. Okay, this church and many like it around the country are set up by God, bringing a something special to a community, okay, where that they can draw from that. The Christians go and are reminded and filled up, and we draw from that as a body and begin to infiltrate our community around us and spread the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ, telling people about the grace and the anointing and the power and the things that you're even hearing about this morning. The church is literally meant to be the training camp, okay, to strengthen and to train up the soldiers of the Lord. Okay, and the scriptures refer to us as soldiers for the Lord. Paul saw that Christians were getting to the point where they were having the what I call the me and my four and no more mentality. Okay, what does that mean? Me and my four and no more. It means it's about me and my family, and it's just about us and being happy and, you know, whatever. And they forget that there's a bigger picture. Okay, they forget that there's more to it than just me and my four. Okay, that mentality is a way of seeking comfort for yourselves. Okay, it's like, I just want to be comfortable, have my place, have my church, whatever. But the true purpose of the church was to go beyond the walls of the church, beyond our own families, and to begin reaching and impacting other people, impacting the world around us. So Paul's goal, as he's writing out his prayers, and my goal as well, is to reveal to the church the power that is at our disposal. Okay, to reveal what God has given us to be able to overcome, okay, to conquer, to defeat the powers of darkness. Not just in our own personal lives, but I'm talking for our family, that we really break ground for our family, or for the place where we work, that we just as a believer in there are making an impact. We're putting a dent in what the darkness may try to be overpowering. Okay, it's like we're that little bit of light in every place that we go. But as we begin then to unite, okay, what happens when you put two candles together? It gets bigger, right? You put a bunch of them together, it's like a big flamethrower. Okay, it grows, and the more that we unite, that's where the fellowships come in. Okay, both at the church where we get refueled, sort of, and kind of trained and taught and empowered and sent out. Okay, and part of that is then that we go and we unite with others and we begin to grow, and that the body of Christ continues to take more and more ground away from the enemy. Okay, we can defeat those powers of darkness, and as the body of Christ, you do not have to live in continual poverty. Okay, as part of the body, you don't have to live in continual poverty. You don't have to live in constant sickness. Okay, you don't have to live with ongoing despair or daily fear. Okay, it's not meant to be that way. God has a plan and a purpose. Okay, and when we yield to that plan, it's going to get better. Okay, it's going to get bigger, brighter future. Things will have that hope. The Bible is filled with love and grace and hope. Okay, and if you the top three that people talk about is faith, hope, and love. Right, those three things emanating through your life is going to be a pretty good life. Okay, well, Paul tells it like this when he's talking about the church and how we impact the world around us. In Ephesians chapter 3 is where we'll start, in verse 7. Paul says, "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power." In other words, it was something God did. "Unto me," Paul says, "who am who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." That's a good thing. "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." And then he says, here's why he wants this to be known. "To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." Okay, Paul is saying that he was intentionally made a minister to reveal the power that was included in the grace of God to fight against the principalities and the powers of the heavenly places, spiritual places. Okay, the spiritual realm that we live in. Okay, he says that that power was included in the grace to fight against the principalities and powers in the spiritual realm and to let those powers know that the church is a force to be reckoned with. Okay, that the church, the believers, we believe by faith, trusting in Jesus, and we know that the spiritual realm takes note. Okay, we had a gentleman came by the church, and I didn't put a lot into what he said, but he came by on a Wednesday night. He was traveling through town, a transient guy living in his car, and able to sit down and talk with him for an hour or so and find out his story. But one of the things that he said was the reason that he came to this church was because as he looked, he said there was like a pillar of fire over the building. He said there was something special happening at this place, and he wanted to come. And the first thing he did, our first conversation, I said, "Hey, brother, glad you're here tonight. You know, I hadn't started teaching. We're teaching on Revelation." And I said, "Hey, brother, glad you're here. You know, where are you from?" You know, kind of did that little thing. And I said, "Well, I said, I'm glad you're here. We're in the middle of a study on the book of Revelation." And I said, "But I reteach and whatever, you'll pick it up right where we're at." And he said, "Oh, great, the book of Revelation. Wow, you must be really pressing into the deep stuff." And in kind of a condescending way, he said, "Well, I shouldn't get into that. I think about where that story was going." But the whole point was he thought he knew what I was going to be teaching on. And he said, "I'll bet you're going to teach on da-da-da-da-da." And he throws it out there. And I said, "Well, actually, no, I don't believe that. I believe this." And his eyes lit up. They got this big. "I can't believe it. I hardly ever meet somebody that believes like that." And he was so in tune that the whole time I'm speaking, his eyes were big like that because the message spoke to him. Okay, the whole point of that is that when the church is on track, and I believe we're on track with God right now, that as it continues to emanate that anointing, that more and more people will be drawn to that because they want to know what God is up to, and they can see that God is at work, see that God is doing something. Okay, well, as we unite as a church, as the whole church, the big church, and then as each individual member, okay, or each part of the body begins to fill their intended purpose, okay? Because God has a purpose for every person in a body. I believe that we will push back the workings of evil. I believe that we can take back ground that may have been given over to the enemy, okay? And that's what has happened a lot. Our, you know, schools used to have Bibles as part of their curriculum, and that's not allowed. They used to do more prayer, and some of that's not allowed. There's things that we kind of allowed the enemy to take some ground. And I believe as the church unites and understands its purpose in a community, that we can begin to reach more and more. We can effectively begin to take ground back so that our schools could become, again, a place where the Bible is taught. Okay, now that thought is something, man, oh no, that'll never happen. You don't know. I know my God, okay, and I know what God is capable of. I know what man has allowed and what man is capable of. I am one, right? But I also know God, and I know what God is capable of, okay? Let me ask you this. Did Pharaoh think that the slaves would ever leave? Okay, no. But when God showed up, it happened. And he resisted and he fought it and he said, no, it's not going to happen. But it happened exactly as God wanted it to. Okay, our workplaces can have Jesus Christ as the main boss again. Okay, it can be an environment where Christ is known to be the leader. Okay, your health can be restored. You can get out of that hole that you've dug for yourself. Okay, there is that possibility. It is in God's capacity to do that. That you can walk confidently in victory over sins and bad habits and shortcomings. You can have victory in the area that you have struggled with your entire life. You can have victory. Jesus Christ is in it, okay, and he is quite capable of causing things to happen. Okay, the old expression is that you can have as much of God in your life as you want, okay, but you can also have as much of the devil in your life as you allow. Okay, we give him place. The Bible tells us give no place to the devil. There's a reason. Because if you give him an inch, he takes a mile. Okay, he doesn't just do a little bit. He wants to really corrupt, to really take you down the wrong road. Okay, at some point you have to tell the devil, enough is enough. I've had enough. It stops now. And then on the other side, you're telling God, I want more of you and your power in working in my life. Make that stand. Okay, make that your line that the devil cannot cross anymore. You know, I ran into a pastor friend this week at Walmart, and as part of the conversation, I was reminded of something that they said about how it seems to get, you know, when it seems to be getting darker. Okay, it's already dark, it seems like. Things have already kind of gone in a direction. So when it seems dark and when things seem to be getting darker, that you have to remember that it's during that time when the evil comes out because of the cover of darkness, they feel like they can just do whatever they want. But guess what? The morning comes. Okay? The night doesn't last forever. The morning comes, and when the light comes on, it exposes all that darkness for what it is. Okay? There's a power in knowing that and remembering that as bad as dark as it looks like it might get at times, the morning's coming. Okay? It's going to be changed by the power of God. Okay? It's time for the church to rise up and to push back. Okay? And not just be, okay, it's fine. If you want to come and do that, that's fine. Or just allowing things to happen. Okay? Unfortunately, I wrote in my notes some of you, so it's kind of pointed. Okay? But some of you are so focused on your own personal struggles that you're missing the bigger picture of what God wants to do through the church. What you have to understand is that when you put your focus on expressing and expanding the kingdom of God, that's our vision as the Oasis Church, to reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is our vision. That's where we're headed. We're going to reach more and more people. When we focus on that, all those personal battles begin to diminish, okay? And even some of them even disappear because they're just not that grand anymore. Because you see that God has a purpose and it's bigger than just what you're dealing with right now, that God has a bigger plan. And when you focus on that plan, then God can begin, some of those other things will just fall to the wayside. Now you can grab on to what Paul was praying for us, that we understand and know the hope of your calling. Okay, it's something worth for me to get excited about. I hope you do too, because it's God at work and he's wanting to do some things right through the body of Christ. I believe that when Jesus said to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, that part of the reason for that is because that light pierces the darkness. Okay, and it causes the darkness to flee. Evil does not want to be exposed, if you haven't figured that out yet. As soon as you start shining light, people will skirt away from you. And in a spiritual sense, if you haven't got to that point, I'll tell you, it's very possible when you walk down the street that people will literally avoid you. Not them, the person, but the spirits that are attached or around that person. They don't want to be exposed. Okay, they will flee. It will flee. Okay, there is a power in you that is not natural. It is a supernatural power. Okay, it is something that supersedes all manner of evil, greater than any, brighter than any part of darkness, any kind or amount of. Okay, now let's look at the prayer that Paul prayed for the believers. We looked at the first one in chapter 1 last week. This is in chapter 3, starting in verse 14. Paul says it like this. He says, it's for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that, and this is what he prays, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, so that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in or through the church, by Jesus Christ, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now, some of that is what I call King James-y language, so I kind of want to explain a little bit about what Paul was saying here. Paul says that it is for this reason, okay, for this cause, after seeing the greatness of the plan of God for what the church is really for, okay, it's after he sees that, he says, for this reason, I bow my knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is because he now sees that he gets on his knees and prays to God for you and I. Okay, and he prays that God will grant you, that God will give you and pour out into you out of the richest treasury of the glory of God. Okay, that his glory, he's got this massive amount of glory in his bank account, and he wants to pour out into you some of that, right out of the glory of God, so that we are strengthened, so that we are reinforced, so that we are built up with a mighty power, something on the inside. He called it the inner man. And that would take place by the Holy Spirit himself. Okay? Something that we already know has been given to us. Paul prays that Christ may, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, and make his permanent home in your hearts. Okay, he prays that you will be so deeply rooted in love, okay, so securely founded on love, that you will have the power to be strong and apprehend and grasp, along with all the other saints, along with all the other people devoted to God, the true experience of that love. This is what he wants for you. What Paul called the breadth and length and height and depth, he was saying that he wants you to really come to know personally, to practically experience for yourself the love of Jesus Christ, which he says far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. Okay, now, how many of you have ever had a boss that maybe they went to school, got their education, and they come back and they kind of think they know it all about a particular area. But you know that they don't really know it all because they know about the job, but they've never actually done it. Okay, anybody ever, you know what I'm talking about? Okay, where they haven't ever experienced it for themselves. They haven't ever truly done it. Okay, so you don't know if they really know how to do it, or is that just head knowledge? Okay, Paul is saying that he wants the experience that we have to be of God's love in a way that takes us from knowing about the love of Jesus to truly experiencing the love of Jesus. Okay, he prays all this so that you and I may be filled throughout our entire being with the fullness of God, that we can have the greatest amount, okay? God's got this big bank account of glory, and he's trying to give it to you, and he wants us to truly have the biggest amount, the richest measure of the divine presence in our life, so that we can become a body that is truly filled, flowing, overflowing, just oozing with God himself, okay? And at the root of Paul's prayer for the believers here is that we would truly know and understand how much God loves us. Okay? And it is what I call addressing a worth issue. Because people do not see themselves as worthy of that kind of love, worthy of walking in the power, the anointing, and the glory of God. Okay? But that's what God wants for you. He wants to give you that. Okay? When you know how much God loves you, what ends up happening is the more you grasp that, the more secure you are in how much God loves me, you're more willing to accept the flow of his Holy Spirit in your life. Okay, you're more willing to allow his power to work through your life to affect and impact not only your life, but the church, and then consequently the world around you will be touched by that. Okay, God loves you so much that he sent his only son to die for you. Everybody knows John 3:16, right? He loves you so much that he gave you, as Paul talked earlier in the chapter, the free gift of grace. Okay, and that grace is so much more than just a ticket to heaven. Okay, that grace includes the fullness of the Godhead, as Paul put it. The power and the majesty and the wisdom and the provision and the strength of the Almighty God is now within you. Okay, that came with that grace package. So often, Christians go through life being bounced around like a pinball in an arcade machine. You know, tink, 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 tink. Wherever, you know, the biggest push comes from, they go in the opposite direction. Okay, and the whole time they're kind of working their way down. Does that make sense? Okay, and to live like that is not as necessary, not as needful as so many think that it is. Like, I need to just jump from one thing to the next and go here and do that. God has a better plan. Okay, God has something that He wants to do in your life. Okay, if we're bounced around by the whims of the world that we live in, rather than affecting and impacting, confidently touching the lives of the world and the people in the world around us, it'll make a difference as we the way that we live our life. Okay, the love of God that Paul prays for us is known as agape love. Anybody ever heard that term? Okay, agape is just the Greek word for love in that sentence. Okay, and it stands for, and it means that it is a kind of love that involves dedication. Okay, it is a dedicated love solely to you. It's an intentional kind of love. Okay, agape specifically means to love the undeserving despite disappointment and rejection. In other words, God is going to love you no matter what. Okay, no matter how you act, no matter what, if you let Him down that day or not, that love did not change because of your behavior. Okay, it is not the sort of love or the something that it involves a personal gain, okay, on the part of God. Okay, but it's a love that is given with a purpose, okay, to effect change. Okay, it is a purposeful love that is poured into someone to overwhelm them with an uncontainable amount of goodness. You ever hear the love of God is what leads to repentance, right? The love of God covers a multitude of sins. It is an intense amount of love given to you, freely given to you, not based on your behavior, based on His glory bank account, given unto you that overwhelms you and causes real life change. Okay, you've heard the expression that love is blind. Anybody ever heard that? Okay, love is blind. What does that mean? Somebody's in a relationship with somebody that's not good for them and they don't see it, right? Well, in this case, the love that is blind is because it's coming from God with such power, okay, such an overwhelming amount of true affection and love from God that it simply causes everything else to not really matter that much. Whatever it is that God wants me to do, that's what I'm doing because God loves me that much. Okay, to know the breadth and the length and the depth and the heights of God's love is to be consumed on all sides with this kind of love. It is consumed to the point that you just don't see anything else. Okay, now it's not a forceful, not an overpowering or a means of controlling you kind of love, but it's just the opposite. It is a manner in which you are so consumed with the love of God that it causes you to change your own mind and determine to alter your own behavior based on love, not based on guilt, not based on direction, orders, whatever it is simply based on that love that it is so consuming that I have no choice, but I just want to do this now. And you begin to live out the way that God had designed. Okay, in this case, the Apostle Paul is wanting you and I to know the love of God to the point that it causes us to yield ourselves to the Spirit of God so that His power can manifest through us as a body of Christ. Okay, now I said that it was a worth issue because so many believers do not see themselves as being worthy of walking in the supernatural or being worthy of walking in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But I believe if I asked 100 Christians today, does God love His Son, Jesus Christ? Every one of them would adamantly say, absolutely, God loves Jesus Christ. That's His own Son. But what not all Christians comprehend is that you and I are joint heirs with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Okay, that same love that God has towards Jesus, He has towards you. He loves you with an everlasting, never-stopping, unconditional love that includes all the goodness of God, all the blessing, all the power, all the provision that comes with that love. Okay, we are not the Savior of the world, but because we know and believe on the Savior of the world, we are adopted into the family of God and as such are heirs to the throne. We are heirs to what was due unto Jesus, all the things that were given unto Him while He was on the earth, all the things that He walked in, we have all that at our disposal as well. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 15. He says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit itself, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." Okay, you are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Okay, let me say that again. You are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Amen. Everybody got that? That is not a small thing. That is a huge thing. That is a life-changing, transforming, never be the same kind of thing. Okay, you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Okay, that's something to get excited about. You share in the inheritance with the Son of God because you are a son or a daughter of God. Okay, does that make sense? You're sharing in that same blessing. Okay, now the last part of this verse here in verse 17, it says that we are heirs with Christ, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together with Him. That means that we must share His suffering if we are to share His glory. Okay, now, Jesus didn't suffer things like sickness and poverty and some of the things that we tend to think of as suffering. Jesus suffered persecution. Okay, Jesus dealt with people coming at Him and being against Him because of His faith in God. Okay, He was persecuted because of His relationship with God. He was persecuted because He walked by faith and walked in the power and the anointing of His Father. Okay, and you will too. I know people don't like to hear that. You're going to be persecuted. I look forward to it, just telling you. Okay, it means I'm doing something right. Okay, I'm walking according to the ways of God. Okay, the Bible tells us, remember, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It is going to happen if we're living right. Okay, you have been made worthy of God's presence and His power living inside of you by an act of God Himself. It was something He decided, said, "I want this to happen. I'm going to give you my power. I'm going to give you all the inheritance, all the blessing, all the favor that I wanted to bestow upon my Son, I now give to you because you are my Son." That's what God did for you. When we believe by faith in what Jesus did for us, it makes us a child of God. In Ephesians, we'll go back to that letter, but we'll start with chapter 1, verse 3. Paul said it this way. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Okay, there it is right there, right? We're blessed with it all. Verse 4 says, "According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, all to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved." Later on in Ephesians 2:13, Paul said, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were were far off." In other words, at one time you were away from God, you were distanced from Him. But he said that you who sometimes were far off are made nigh, made near by the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, and then in Ephesians 5:8, he says again, for you were sometimes or at one time in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, so walk as children of light. Okay, Paul was praying for us that we would know that we are loved and accepted by God, so that we would confidently walk in the power and the authority that has been bestowed upon us. Okay, in Ephesians 3:19, back to the prayer that Paul prayed, he said, he prayed that we would know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, so that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think according to the power that now works in us, unto him be glory through the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. God can and will do abundantly above all that we ask or think through his power that is now at work through us. Okay, by faith, we believe on Jesus. By faith, we believe that his power is now in us. So now, by faith, we walk in and demonstrate his power flowing through us to intentionally affect the people around us, to affect our families and our workplaces and our communities. Before Jesus ascended to heaven, he said this in John chapter 14, verse 12. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. I'm going to stop right there just for a second. What's the qualifier? Anybody know what a qualifier is? Jesus said, the works that I do, he shall do. Who can do that? The first part of that, okay, English is not your guys' best subject. I can see that. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, who in here believes on the Lord Jesus Christ? Okay, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, Jesus said, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. What did he do when he went unto the Father? He sent us the Holy Spirit. Okay, in verse 13 he said, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And again, he states it one more time because he knew that was going to be unbelievable, right? In the last verse, he says, 14, he says, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Okay, that's Jesus' word for you and I. Okay, because the qualifier was, whoever believes on me shall do these works and even greater works. Ask me, I'll do it, because I want my Father God to be glorified. When you ask for something by faith, you're asking in the name of Jesus, all that he did and stood for and did for you, okay, and you're asking him to fulfill a request, Jesus says he will do it for no other reason, if for no other reason, than to bless you. He wants to bless his Father in heaven. Okay, he's still a faithful son. Okay, another place Jesus said this, it's Mark 11, 23 and 24. Some of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. Okay, it must be the kids' favorite too. They're really hard. Okay. Mark 11, 23 and 11, 24. He said, verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, everybody say, when you pray, okay, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Okay, have you ever stopped to think, maybe God is just waiting for you to apply your faith by asking, okay, by praying? That's why Jesus put that in there, when you pray. It's like, don't just think about it. Don't just think how things could be better, but ask me. Ask in my name, and I'll give it to you. Okay, that is that faith that he is wanting us to walk in. Jesus said to ask, and you shall receive. To knock, and it shall be open. If you seek, you shall find. Okay, the Apostle John, who was, I love this because he's the only guy that actually wrote it about himself. He quotes himself as being the disciple whom Jesus loved. Okay, remember we're talking about knowing how much God loves you because it'll help you to walk in it. Listen to what John declares here in 1 John 5:14. He says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, in God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." John knew that God loved him. And he knew whatever petition he brought before God, that he was going to give him that request. Okay, the way that you ask according to his will is to simply ask for things by faith. You're believing and trusting in God, and you're applying faith and putting it out there before him. Okay, last verse this morning is Luke 17:5. It says, "The apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey you." Okay, Jesus was implying that it doesn't take some huge amount of faith. You don't have to work it up for several days and then pray. Just pray. Just apply that faith that God has given you. He has dealt to every man a measure of faith, the Bible says. You apply what God has given to you. Okay, and it doesn't take a huge amount of faith to move something out of your way. Okay, that obstacle that is in your way. Okay, that mountain that is blocking your view of your destiny. Okay, that thing that is hindering you from going on further, going farther. Okay, maybe it's that tree that is hunkered down right in your path. Okay, your path to success, your path to your destiny, your path to freedom, okay, your path to a deeper walk with God. Whatever it is that tree is in the way of, Jesus is saying, pluck it up. Tell it to get out of your way and tell it where to go. Okay, pluck it up and cast it down somewhere else. Okay, because that can be removed and cast aside by applying your faith. Faith is applied more and more when you understand that God loves you. Faith is applied when you know that you are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father God. Okay, you can walk with favor. You can walk with blessing. You can walk in the anointing. Okay, one of the ways that the Church of Jesus Christ can impact the world that we live in is by walking by faith. Okay, we walk as a believer, that we believe the things of the Bible. We believe what Jesus said. Okay, we make our requests known unto God, and He answers and sends those answers. Let His power within you actively flow through you by simply asking by faith. Allow Him to say, Father God, even if it's this issue of love that I'm talking about, this worth issue, okay, start right there and say, God, I need to know that I'm worthy. I need you to show me that I'm worthy, apart from what Pastor Gary just showed me this morning. Okay? Because I showed you a whole bunch in there. But God will, and I honestly believe that He will. Ask Him to reveal Himself, how much He cares for you, and you'll begin to see things happening. You'll begin to see that stuff that wasn't looking like it was going to happen or go right, and all of a sudden it's all done. Okay? And it's things are taking place because we know that God is on your side. Okay, let's let His power flow through us as we leave this morning. Father, we are praising You. It is in the name of Jesus that we ask, Father. We trust You. We trust in all that You've done through Jesus. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for the grace. We thank You for that blessing that came, all that came through the grace of Your Son, Jesus. Father, and now as we apply our faith, we go forth from here, Lord, as a unified body, ready to impact the world, ready to make a difference in our family, in our community, and places we go every day. Lord, I pray that You will stir up that power within us and allow us to walk with Your love and anointing in a way that supersedes anything we have ever seen or done before. Father, I pray that we're confident in You. I pray that we understand what You have done and what Your purpose and plan is. I pray that we grab hold of Your hope. That thing that You have put in us, that stirring and inside to cause us to go in the right direction, do the right things, and minister in Your name. Father, we thank You for changing us a little bit this morning, that we can go forth a little different than we came in, that we now know that you truly do love us. Father, we praise you for these things. It's in Jesus' name that we say, amen.